coast to coast and border to border. It's Tailgate Radio.
Hey there, Tailgate Nation. Thank you for downloading episode number 123 of our virtual tailgate party as we blast this show to all 50 states, all provinces in Canada, and over 50 countries across this big blue marble we call Earth. I am the Grill Sergeant, John Largent, and we are coming off the heels of a great event at the University of Houston. It is Super Bowl week, and I just got done with Party with a Purpose, the Taste of the NFL, over on the campus of the University of Houston the night before the Super Bowl. It is very late, and this is probably going to be a truncated version of Tailgate Radio, getting ready for the big game tomorrow at Reliant Stadium or NRG Field, whichever, I can't remember what they call the building now. But it's been a busy week here in Houston, a busy week getting ready for the biggest sporting event in the United States on an annual basis. And I can tell you it's been a lot of fun, a lot of work, and a lot of coordination to make things happen. But I want to thank the folks over at the Taste of the NFL for a great time last night. There were some great guests. I didn't bring my equipment with me. I didn't want to be that guy walking around bothering celebrities and things like that at the event, and just wanted to take the event in. But I can tell you it's a fantastic event. If you want to learn more about the Taste of the NFL, just go to www.tasteofthenfl.com. Today is the day of the big game. I can tell you that the city of Houston has rolled out the red carpet. They've done a fantastic job. It's been a busy few days here in Houston. I can tell you, not only was I at the Taste of the NFL, I was also went across town. I don't guess it's across town, but it's a few miles away to the big UFC event that was here last night, and saw the Korean Zombie make his triumphant return to the octagon. So a lot of sports, a lot of fun last night, and it has been a great time. And the good thing about it is I don't live too far from Houston, so it's an easy drive back today. I should be back. Not going to stay here for the game, don't have tickets, but I'm going to be back home in time for kickoff, and I'm looking forward to hosting a Super Bowl party at my home. We're doing we're going kind of low key because no one has a favorite, no one has a team that they're really pulling for. So we're kind of going as casual observers. So we're doing the ultimate potato bar. So we're going to have brisket, pulled pork, and a variety of other meats such as grilled bacon and other things that we will be able to add to a baked potato. I will tell you, too, and this is a quick plug for one of our earliest sponsors. They no longer sponsor the show, but it's still an awesome product. Is if you go over to spudspikes.com and check out their product called Spud Spikes. It's basically six food-grade nails that you slam into the middle of a potato because it cooks from the inside and the outside. And you basically, I guess we'll go into a quick Super Bowl tip.
Your pregame recipe of the week.
If you haven't gotten your menu together and you're getting ready to go to the grocery store for your own home gating party or home tailgate party, home Super Bowl party, if you want to do something simple like we're doing tonight, we're not going full board, but we are going to make it awesome. And one of the things you can do is get a baked potato, slather it in extra virgin olive oil, get your favorite spice or rub, generously coat each baked potato with that particular spice that you want. You can bake your potatoes, and you will have a crispy, crunchy outside and a light, fluffy inside of your baked potato. Give my buddies up in the Northeast, or excuse me, the Northwest, good gracious, it's early in the morning, as you can probably hear with my bass voice this morning. Out there in Oregon, you can go to their website at www.spudspikes.com. They've got a great variety of not only rubs for your potatoes, but they've got some new products out there too. Burley Babe products and some other things that you want to check out over at spudspikes.com. So that's my quick plug for a non-paying sponsor. But that's what we're doing today at our own little Super Bowl party. We're not having a lot of folks over. It's going to, after traveling and being here for a few days, it's going to be time to just relax. We look forward to the game, and we'll go into that before we leave. I'm going to give you my lead pipe volcano molten rock lava lock for the Super Bowl. So you'll have time to, as this show is coming out about 8:30 Central Time in the morning on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. This is a very special, we don't typically do special shows, but we're doing one just out of necessity this week because our Thursday show didn't drop. So we're doing our special Super Bowl edition of the show. We'll be right back right after this.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich, no. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Tailgate Radio.
What's up, everybody? It's Adam Richmond from the Travel Channel, and you are feasting your ears on Tailgate Radio with the Grill Sergeant, John Largent. Remember, chew carefully and eat mightily.
And we are back. The Grill Sergeant John Largent coming to you live from Houston. Well, not live. This is a podcast, so it's not live. I'm not going to lie to you. But it is same-day coverage. I will be, as you listen to this, if you listen to this on Super Bowl Sunday, I will be either still in Houston or getting ready to leave. I'm going to leave Houston around noon today, get out before the game, and get home before the game. So I've got about a four-hour drive ahead of me, so I will get there and then get home in plenty of time to get my tailgate party ready to roll. But it's been a great time in Houston. Great fans. A lot of Atlanta Falcon fans in town. You know, when you go to a Super Bowl city, you can kind of get the tenor of who's going to be there. I remember a few years ago when we were in Detroit for the Super Bowl, when the Seattle Seahawks and the Pittsburgh Steelers played in the Super Bowl. I don't think I ran into a single Seahawk fan until the game. I did go to that game. It was Steeler country, and I know part of it was proximity. I think that's probably less than a 300-mile drive for Steeler fans up to Detroit. But I just was struck by how one-sided the fandom is. And similarly so this year with Atlanta. Atlanta has a more regional following, and the Patriots are, you know, they're winners, and they've won many times. Seen a lot of Patriot gear, but just out and about in the town, I've run into probably 3-1 Atlanta Falcon fans. I don't know if they're real fans or they just are rooting against the Patriots, but it's going to be interesting to see. And before we go into our interview, I want to talk to you about some of the things that you know, this is the first time or maybe the second time in history where the number one offense, the Atlanta Falcons, is playing the number one defense in the league, which is the New England Patriots. And so, you know, they say defense wins championships. Well, we're going to find that out today because I don't know anybody that can stop the Atlanta Falcons. And if anybody could, it would be the number one defense. I am going to make my prediction now, and you can just go to your bookie and make the money. If you lose, sorry, I can't help you. I'm going with my gut, and I'm going to say the winner of Super Bowl 51 by a score of 26-23 is going to be the New England Patriots. That's the official Tailgate Radio lead pipe, molten lava, rock solid pick of the week. The last one of the year when it comes to football. Not going to be popular. I read somewhere that 77% of the people that plan on watching the Super Bowl are going to be rooting I guess, against the Patriots. They say they're going to be rooting for Atlanta, but I think it's going to be more rooting against the Patriots. It's really interesting. I'm not super, you know, even though I'm here and kind of been engaged, I really don't have a strong feeling about the game one way or the other. I think at this point, and I know it's different for the players and the coaches and the staffs and things like that, and the loyal fans of each club, but from a fan of a different team that's not in the Super Bowl that lost last week to the Atlanta Falcons, it's you know, it's a little bittersweet because, you know, there's all the things around the Super Bowl. And just so you know, there's a petition that's out. We started a petition over a decade ago, and we never got any traction. But I hear that it's been rekindled, and the Heinz Corporation and some other people are actually getting behind it finally. But there's a petition to make the Monday after the Super Bowl a national holiday, just because it's the least productive day of the year for most people. If you go to a party, if you have a good time, if you or out with your friends or family, or if you travel to the game, the last thing you want to do on Monday is go back to work. And there's, you know, we did that way back when, as kind of a, whenever I was working in a different capacity, didn't have the podcast, but was out working the tailgating scene across the country. We tried to really push a national, and I think our website, I don't know if they picked up the URL or not, but it was SuperBowlMonday.org, and we really tried and sent it up to Congress and got nowhere with it. But I think some big dogs in the industry are stepping in and trying to make that happen. Don't know that it's going to go anywhere, but I think it's funny, and I think it's interesting that that some good ideas just never go away. So maybe somebody with a little more stroke and a little more pull than the fine folks here at Tailgate Radio could make that happen. All right, well, we're going to, having given you the prediction, 26-23, New England Patriots, going to wrap up my time here in Houston. Again, thanks to the folks at Taste for the NFL. Thanks for the folks from UFC. It's been a great weekend. I know some other people were here in town that I wanted to see that I didn't get a chance to, but you know, it's you know, it's really controlled chaos. There are so many events going on, so many parties, so many things. I'm getting too old to do some of this stuff, but Taste of the NFL is always going to be something that I like to participate in. And as I said, you can learn more about that at tasteofthenfl.com. And also, again, the folks over at the Toyota Center last night with the UFC were very kind, and we appreciate their support as well. So we're gonna wrap up this week's show with an interview we did with Bethany Bratcher about the great book Super Bowl 50. It's still available. You can still buy it. It's still out there. It is amazing. We got the hardcover version that is wrapped in, it's like pigskin. It's like NFL, it's like holding a football. From a historical perspective, from a visually appealing perspective, to me, this is the best anthology of the NFL Super Bowl game that has ever been produced, and I highly encourage you to go out and get a copy. I think you can go to their website at SuperBowl50.com, and I think it's also available in finer bookstores across North America. So with that being said, folks, I will see you on the other side next week. We'll have great shows. We're going to be doing for the next three or four, excuse me, for the next 3 or 4 weeks, we'll be coming to you from Las Vegas and the Sports Licensing and Tailgate Show, and I'll be interviewing some of the great inventors, some of the great manufacturers and producers that were out in Las Vegas for the Sports Licensing and Tailgate Show. It's definitely shows you want to listen to and learn more about some of the great products that are out there, and you're not going to have a better perspective of some of the newest products that are out there on the market then checking out our shows over the next 3 or 4 weeks from the sports licensing show, sports licensing and tailgate show in Las Vegas, Nevada. So we're going to wrap it up and take a listen to this great interview we did with Bethany Bratcher.
Welcome back, Tailgate Nation, the Grill Sergeant John Largent, and we've got a great guest for you. This person has been an author and a sports writer for over 20 years and has a book out called Super Bowl 50. Welcome into Tailgate Radio, Bethany Bratcher.
Well, hi, John. Thanks. It's great to be here.
Bethany, how much fun did you have researching this book for the Super Bowl?
It was just a ball. I mean, when you take an event like the Super Bowl, you know, just a small topic, just 50 years of the Super Bowl, no big deal. And so it was such a treat because our mission, as we put this book together, was obviously to cover the football and the players and the coaches and all of the obvious points that make this the biggest sports spectacle in the world. But we also looked at things like commercials, halftime shows, dips that you serve at parties, gambling. You know, we really just wanted to cover every single aspect of the game as it touches the American culture.
Yeah, you know, the evolution of Super Bowl has been pretty stark. I remember one of the first Super Bowls in Houston. I've seen a ticket. It was like $8.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that have changed the most about the Super Bowl over the last half century?
Well, you touched on one of them. In fact, Super Bowl I was one-third empty. There were more than 31,000 empty seats. And one of the other stories I love about that is there were actually two networks that broadcast it, NBC and CBS, but they erased the tapes of, you know, Rosemary Woods. They erased the footage of the Super Bowl and taped something else on top of it, so there's not even footage anymore. So that sort of tells you the way it was viewed. It was certainly a big football game as football games went at that time, but nothing like what we experience today. The early games were played in kind of destination cities, mostly Miami, LA, New Orleans, and then now, as we know, you know, you can have a Super Bowl in Indianapolis or Minneapolis, and so it's just changed in the way that it's more of a national game. People who don't like football pay attention because there's so many sideshows that it really doesn't matter if you're a fan or not. You're going to be swept into the vortex of this event.
When did the Super Bowl kind of turn that corner and go from becoming a sporting event to the spectacle it is today?
I think it was a little bit hard to pick, you know, an exact turning point, but I feel like one moment in time that we could pinpoint would be at Super Bowl 27, and that was the Michael Jackson halftime show. Very iconic. It was actually the first time that the ratings went up during halftime. And so that just shows that, okay, yes, people are gathered to watch the game, but more than that, they're gathered because there's going to be something that happens that night that's going to be discussed the next day at work, and they don't want to miss it. And it became that kind of event. And so from that point on, you know, halftime was a superstar spectacle rather than, you know, in the early days, it was marching bands and trumpet players and up with people, good grief, way too much. So there are some really good developments over the years. So I'm sorry to any up with people fans out there who I may have offended.
That's funny. My wife dated a guy that sang in Up With People, so I just laughed when you brought that up.
I was not a plan. I didn't say that because John wanted me to do that, I promise.
Well, let me ask you this. The book itself looks amazing. I have not gotten my copy yet, but I have ordered one, so I'm anxiously awaiting that. And I understand it's pigskin cover. It just has the look and the feel. Tell me how the book is broken down. How do you cover the different topics for 50 years of the game?
We cover every game. So for starters, we do have a lengthy feature hitting the high points of every one of the 49 Super Bowls, kind of by decade, with a lot of good game breaks in between features. One feature I'll mention because it was a great treat for me is I was able to interview the three men who've been to every one of the 49 Super Bowls that have been played. And so these three are called the Never Miss a Super Bowl Club. They were featured in a Visa ad a few years back, so some people may remember that gave them a measure of fame. And so that was a lot of fun. So we tried to break that up, but we did cover all the games, and then we have a section on the people. And so that is best players that are known for being the stars of the Super Bowl, the best coaches in the history of the game, even the best players never to play in the Super Bowl. My publishing company is based in Michigan, so they had to find a way to get Barry Sanders in there somehow. And so we have the players that never made it, even a section on players who behaved badly during Super Bowl week. Something about being in a Super Bowl city with the big game coming up brings out the worst in some athletes. So we covered that, and then kind of the sideshows. So, you know, sections on, like I said, the commercials, the halftime, the gambling. And then one of my favorite sections, because the designers who did the book did such a fabulous job with this, is at the very back, there's a timeline that is a halftime timeline. And it features beautiful photos of the halftime shows going, you know, from the very beginning of 1967 with the University of Arizona and Grambling State bands, you know, all the way to Katy Perry. It really does take you through those halftime shows and what made them special.
What were some of the most surprising things that you uncovered while researching and writing this book?
That's a great question. I think the Super Bowl, I enjoyed uncovering the trends of the game, that there would be periods where there were just drubbings, you know, one beat down after another, and not a lot of exciting games. That was kind of the early days. And early games were also chiefly defensive battles. And so it took a while. It really was kind of a West Coast offense, the 49ers phenomenon, when offense took the spotlight there for a while. And so you start to see that. I just enjoy trends, and something I looked for is how the game evolved over the years. And really, we've been treated to some great ones in recent years. I think we've forgotten that there were some stretches where you didn't really watch the football because there wasn't a whole lot to see. And then just fun little facts. You know, the Super Bowl's never gone into overtime. A lot of people know that, but it was fun to learn that kind of thing. No team has ever won more than two consecutive Super Bowls, even though a bunch of teams have won two in a row. And so it was neat to look into some of those details and to just pull out the fun facts about the game that either people might not have known or they may have forgotten over all the decade.
Do you guys cover any of the more infamous events that have taken place at the Super Bowl? I know most recently, I guess, would be the power outage in New Orleans and Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson. Is all that covered in the book as well?
Absolutely. Wardrobe malfunction. In fact, we cover that wardrobe malfunction a couple of different ways. It's in the aforementioned, you know, timeline of the halftime shows. But also one of my favorite kind of quirky features I got to write is the lexicon of the Super Bowl. So the words that have come into our vocabulary because of the game. And because I really do believe it's that much of a touchstone in American culture. And one of those is wardrobe malfunction. Because and you may have noticed that people say that phrase all the time, but we never said it before. The Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake debacle. So that was fun. And the power outage is one that we focused on. Also, we did a spread on weather. So it was the coldest Super Bowl, the wettest, the windiest, the hottest, you know, some of the weather high points and low points that really affected the outcome of the game. Top upsets is another one, which, of course, everybody loves.
This is a true compendium. I mean, it's got everything covering the Super Bowl. I'm here with Bethany Bratcher with Super Bowl 50, the author. And how much research and how much time goes into producing such a, looks like an awesome, high-quality book, but then just the sheer amount of information that you cover. What is that process like?
I was part of a tremendous team, and so there were so many different hands at the table, and some of the graphic artists I don't think slept there for a stretch in early this year. But really, we did this from about September 1st. I mean, there was certainly some planning going in before that, but my writing and the graphic design and gathering the photographs from about September 1st to May 1st. Of this year. So it was a short period of time, but we also wanted to get it put together and have it be one of the first, you know, Super Bowl 50 books out there and to really do a tremendous job. But it was the quality of the people that were doing it and a lot of hard work. Research-wise, I did some live research, live interviews, but the good news is the Super Bowl is not an event that has been ignored by the media over the years. And so there's a tremendous amount of information out there, and even newspapers that all the way back to 1967 have archived all of their Super Bowl game articles online. So I was able, through books and through article research, to really, you know, like I said, you're hitting the high points. Even though it's a huge book, we touch everything. We, you know, go a few inches deep into all these topics. And so it was fun to kind of decide what was most important about every aspect of the game.
All right, folks, well, that's going to do it for this week's special Super Bowl Sunday edition of Tailgate Radio. I want to thank, again, everybody at the Taste of the NFL, the UFC, Bethany Bradshaw for the interview on the great book Super Bowl 50. As we say every single week, traveling, no matter where we are, keep the drinks cold and the grill hot, and we will see you in the parking lot. Catch your Super Bowl asses on down the road. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Tailgate Radio Network. Any rebroadcast without the express written consent of Major League Beer Pong is strictly prohibited.